Fewer HVAC companies are truly family-owned these days, but Care still is. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Today, more and more companies are backed by venture capital firms, where profit goals often drive a sales-first culture. At Care, we operate with family values. That means honest recommendations, fair pricing, and technicians who are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So for honest, fair service, call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust. When your furnace quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win a BBB Torch Award for ethics and be recognized as Lennox's Partner of the Year in 2024. So call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Steve Clark resigns after Scotland are officially eliminated from the World Cup after 7 years and three major tournaments. The SFA now start their search for a new manager and Rangers complete a deal for defender Ben Godfrey with Jack Butland set to depart and Ivor Pander on the way in. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Roger Hanna.
And it's the end of an era for Scotland, for the Army. Steve Clark, no one managed Scotland more times than Steve Clarke. No one took them to three major finals apart from Steve Clarke. He has been the most successful manager in Scottish football history. He has now decided that the four-year contract he signed 3 weeks ago, they'll just tear it up, they will go their own way. And the SFA now have a major task on their hands to find a new manager, because there are four Nations League games and one international window early next season.
Covering Scottish football, you feel like you've seen it all. There's maybe not that many times that news breaks that you're genuinely shocked by, but I think a lot of people felt that about the Steve Clarke news. When you talk about signing that 4-year deal, the fact that it was, you know, not long after being officially eliminated from the World Cup, I'm not sure it was running through many people's minds that Steve Clarke was going to step down.
No, it certainly wasn't running through my mind, particularly because that contract was signed. You know, before the contract was signed, if you'd said he'll go after the finals, yeah, you could have seen it. But no, it was a genuine surprise. 20-1 in the morning, Sunday morning, you're not expecting to get that news. And it's, you know, it's from the win over Haiti, the way it's all unravelled for Steve Clarke and his players has been a real, real roller coaster. It's unravelled at an incredible rate. Losing to Morocco, losing to Brazil, having to sit there for three nights, not knowing whether they were through to the next round or not. Then the disappointment when Ghana couldn't get that as a result on Saturday night, and, you know, the incredible revelation that the manager was walking away.
0141-951-1025 is that big news that broke over the weekend. Steve Clarke is no longer the Scotland manager. He resigned in the early hours of Sunday morning after Scotland were officially eliminated from the World Cup, that despite signing a 4-year deal just a few weeks ago. So let us know, what do you make of it? Do you think it's the right choice? Did it come as a surprise to you? And what comes next for the Scottish FA? Is there an obvious candidate for you? Are Scotland going to go left field? Do you not have a clue who it's going to be? You can let us know on that number, 0141-951-1025. And with the World Cup over, there will naturally be the transition back into domestic football dominating the headlines. It might still be a few days yet, but certainly Rangers looking to make moves in the transfer market. One official signing today in Ben Godfrey, easy for me to say, on loan from Atalanta with an option to buy. And then it's going to be one in and one out in the goalkeeping department, with Jack Butland set to go to Hull City and Ivor Pander looking as if he's coming in.
Yeah, I can't pretend I know a great deal about Ivor Pander. I know he's back up to Livakovic in the Croatian team there, currently preparing to take on Ronaldo in Portugal in the last 32. But he played week in, week out for a side that were promoted into the English Premier League. So he'll be a goalie of a certain level, 7 years younger than Jack Butland. I'd imagine the wages maybe a little bit lower than Jack Butland. So if you can get him in for a deal that's going to cost Rangers £3 million, then, you know, Derek McInnes will clearly be happy with that. Ben Godfrey was one that was needed. You think of all the defenders that went out the door, Tavernier and Giga and Ahrens and Cornelius and Magoma. A bit like Ross McCrory last week, he's a versatile defender. He's had a difficult time, but, you know, he once went for 25 million and then went for 11 million. So again, he's going to, you would think, be a certain level of player. So Shankly in, McCrory in, Godfrey in, Pandur to come. I think Derek McInnes will be pleased with the pace which he's able to rebuild the squad at the minute.
And despite the fact that the World Cup doesn't come to an end, despite the fact that Scotland are out, there is a game on at the moment, Brazil against Japan, some Scottish domestic interest in that. Daizen Maeda starting in the front three for Japan.
Yeah, and he should start because he scored in the last game. He's looked a threat there. Be interesting to see whether Japan can cause more problems to Brazil than Scotland managed.
Right, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We want to hear your thoughts on maybe it's Scotland's overall World Cup journey. What did you make of it? And what about the ending, Steve Clarke resigning after Scotland are officially eliminated? Let's speak to Tommy up first in Greenock. Tommy, what did you make of the news?
I've got a number of points, but first of all, I'm quite happy guys went. I think he's ran his course, and I'm going to give you some specific reasons why. And years ago, I was an international athlete. I ran at world championship levels, right? So if I was preparing for a big race, I'm no way I'd be running two races 2 weeks before it. He had two games. Them guys had played a full season of football, and he played two games, one in Scotland and one in the Heat America. All that, they'd done it, sapped the energy, right?
That's pretty standard, I think, for most teams, though, Tommy. I think if you look across most of the countries that are competing at the World Cup, that they will have had a couple of warm-up games going into it.
I think all 48.
I don't think that's exclusive to Steve Clarke. I actually think there's maybe a requirement from UEFA to fulfil certain match days, so I think Scotland did need to do that, Tommy.
This is what's wrong, then. I mean, you can't get in your own training because UEFA are telling you what you've got to do. It's terrible, because, and then we get told they were training in saunas. All that would do is suck the life right out of you. Why would you be training in saunas? I raced in Tel Aviv in 1992. It was high humidity, high temperatures. For 4 days before my race, I sat in my bedroom, hotel room with the aircon on, and done very light training at night time. I don't know why I'd be still in the sauna. It wouldn't do anything except...
I think Tommy's guided a lot by these sports scientists guys nowadays, nutritionists and what have you. I mean, I think Scotland took 26 players, as you know, to the finals, but I think Steve's backroom team numbered 44 people, and they've got all these specialists that tell you how to do it and when to do it, and, you know, checking, they've all got their GPS trackers on, and it tells you when they're in the red zone, whatever that might mean. So I don't think it's solely his decision. I think he is guided a lot by this sort of backroom team who supposedly are the experts in preparation in matters like this.
Despite the fact that, you know, you feel it's the right time for him to leave, Tommy, is there an appreciation for the job he's done over the 7 years getting Scotland back to major tournaments?
I think getting us there is great, but I think at this World Cup, he was like throwing darts at a dartboard and just picking numbers. Scotland are used to getting beat. We're used to getting beat. We can suck it up. But we're not used to getting beat and not putting in a performance. I mean, even the Haiti game was absolutely diabolic. We just scraped through there with a 1-0 win. I mean, the performance levels was there. It was the same when we went to the Euros. I went down to Wembley to watch them play in England. It was brilliant. We came out with a nothing each draw, and then we're in two games of disasters. I don't understand why they can't turn up at a big game.
Yeah, you can almost split the Steve Clarke era into two separate things. The first is qualification and getting two tournaments and basically getting Scotland back on the continental stage, getting Scotland back on the world stage, and just really bringing a pride back to the country that hadn't been there for so long. I'm in a generation where I wasn't used to Scotland qualifying for major tournaments at all. I think the first Scotland game I went to was Scotland 1, Romania 2 at Hampden. Yeah. And that kind of set me up for what to expect from Scotland over the next few years. You just didn't anticipate that would come. And then the other side of it is once we were actually at the major tournaments, where Steve Clarke will admit, the players will admit, they haven't stepped up to it.
Yeah, I would agree with some of that. I was actually more annoyed 2 years ago at the manner in which we went out the Euros against Hungary than I was at this tournament. We are ranked 43 in the world, Andrew. That's between the top 32 and the top 48. So we're just about right the way we finished in the finals. We were in a group against the sixth team in the world and the seventh team in the world. The only group in the tournament that had two of the top 10 in it. So if you take away the names, if you've got a group of the teams that are ranked 6th, 7th, 43rd and 83rd, who's going to finish the top two? It's the 6th and 7th. So I'm not sure what people were expecting of Steve Clarke.
The is it more maybe the manner of some of the defeats and some of the goals conceded, which, you know, is not just on Steve Clarke. There's a collective effort there. There's a lot of individual errors from players.
There are, but that's because the players aren't as good as the players in the other teams. That's why they make those mistakes. The win against Haiti was only Scotland's 5th at World Cup finals ever, in all time. We've only won 5 games. It was the first time we'd won one at a final in 36 years. First time we'd been at a final in 28 years. I've seen, as I said in the show when I was on with you and Tony Watt last Monday night, I've seen some absolute drivel in the last 25 years, 30 years in Scotland. Failing to win in the Faroes, failing to win in Moldova when the Tartan Army were at the dressing room door, losing at home to Belarus in qualifiers. Rubbish. Steve Clarke has cut all that out. Had it not been for a dodgy night at home to Ukraine in a playoff, we would have been at 4 consecutive major tournaments, having not been there for a generation. Now, the fact that we're not beating Brazil or beating Morocco at these tournaments, yeah, that's fair enough. But we're a small nation who have never beaten Brazil, who have never gone beyond the group stage at a major tournament in 13 attempts. To listen to some of Steve Clarke's critics, you would think we were expected to win the thing.
Tommy, what comes next for Scotland then? Have you got any ideas?
I would like to see Neil McCann. Neil McCann and Billy Dodds, Scotland manager and assistant.
I wonder how likely that would be, first of all, because, you know, Neil McCann is fresh in a job at Kilmarnock, but does Neil McCann have the track record behind him for you to be the Scotland manager at this stage in his career? Because he's been out of management for quite a long time. He's now back in at Kilmarnock. Do you think? I think he's got the credentials.
I think he knows side out, to be honest with you. I mean, everybody keeps blabbing about Ange Postecoglou. I don't want to see Ange Postecoglou. I want Scots people in charge of a Scottish team. Not everybody's looking for this sexy name, you know what? I would even eat John McGlynn at Falkirk. The guy knows the game.
I wonder if that's part of the problem there, that, like, Tommy using the language, I would even give it to John McGlynn, maybe shows that there's not a vast amount of Scottish options out there.
No, there aren't. John McGlynn and Neil McCann are as viable as any other Scottish options out there. Anytime you see a Scottish option, there's a kind of caveat against it. You know, you can't have Derek McInnes, he's just gone to Rangers. You can't have David Moyes, he's in the big money at Everton. You can't have Alec Neil, he's never played for Scotland. You can't have Darren Fletcher, he's got no managerial experience. You can't have Stevie Naismith, he was Steve Clarke's number two, and he, you know, he's tarnished, blah, blah, blah. So every time you look at a candidate, there seems to be as many negatives as there are positives about the suggestion. Tommy, that's as credible a shout as anyone will come up with tonight. And we don't know who it's going to be because the SFA have no idea who it's going to be.
Well, thank you to Tommy. What about Charlie, also in Greenock? Charlie, how are you feeling, first of all, just about Steve Clarke's departure?
On Steve's departure, I'd like to wish him all the best, by the way. He's done well for Scotland, and I'm not on here to criticise. Although I'm probably going to end up criticising some of Steve Clarke, but I don't want to, because he's done well for us. On Tommy, if you agree with that, wow, I've never disagreed with somebody so much, yet agreed with somebody so much in all my life. Incredible. He says that he wanted Neil McCann. Nonsense. Neil McCann's not going to be the next Scotland manager. He then said, he started off saying he didn't want Ange Postecoglou. Now, that's who I would like to be the next Scotland manager. It's the polar opposite of what Big Steve is in some regards. He's an attacking-minded football manager, and that's what we've been crying out for. But we look at the teams at the World Cup, you see all the ones that are having a go and coming away. But a team that played England, 60-70 places below England, and they pull off a draw because they have a go. Other teams are having a go. Ivory Coast, that they're all leaving the tournament with a bit of pride and what have you, and we have the same idea. So Ange Postecoglou, now what Tommy did say, he thought that the next manager, the manager of a football team should be Scottish, or the next manager should be Scottish. 100% agree with him on that. I've always thought that the manager is part of the team and should always come from the country. However, it's not the world we're working in. So if other people are getting certain rules, then we have to work within those rules as well. And if there's somebody better out there, and believe me, there's a lot of managers, No disrespect to Neil McCann. I've somebody I respect for. No disrespect to him. But there are better managers out there than Neil McCann. I can't believe that shout for the next Scotland manager.
Just on Charlie's point about Ange Postecoglou, I wonder how realistic you think Ange Postecoglou is, because his last two jobs have been English Premier League jobs, would have been on multiples of million pounds a year. Now, I'm not privy to the exact salary that a Scotland manager is going to be on. I imagine it's quite a bit less than that. Do you think it is the type of job that would attract Ange Postecoglou? Do you think that Scotland would be able to bring someone like that in?
I don't know. He certainly got a CV for it. You know, he was very successful as an international manager with Australia. Went to the World Cup in 2014. Hugely successful here with Celtic. He knows the Scottish game. But, you know, I'm not sure. He may also be getting paid by Nottingham Forest more than the SFA could pay him. It might cost Ange Postecoglou money to be manager of Scotland. And people don't like doing that, Andrew. I can't blame him. So he could certainly do the job. Whether the job's attractive to him, I don't know. The level of salary that the SFA is able to offer is not an elite salary, and that will put off a lot of people that the SFA might wish to speak to about the job. You know, so we need to wait and see how it goes. But it's a pressing matter for Mike Mulroney and Ian Maxwell.
Is Ange Postecoglou feel realistic for you, Charlie? Do you think he would want it? Do you think he would take it?
I think he absolutely. I don't know the difference in wages we're talking about here, but I mean, he's not got any phobia about coming to Scotland or anything like that. So I don't see why. He likes the challenge. He's done a national team before, and maybe he might look at it and say, you know what, it's a fit. He might value the sort of time off, if you like, the work life balance that we talk about now. Maybe he sees it as a good shout for him. You don't know. You don't know until you ask a question, and I would like somebody to ask a question, because I think he would be a good fit for Scotland.
Yeah, Ian Maxwell has said himself, since Steve Clarke resigned, that Scotland are open to all options. Charlie says he would like it to be a Scottish manager, doesn't think there's a viable Scottish option. It'll be interesting to see what route he and the decision makers go down.
It's interesting. I remember at the time Steve Clarke was appointed back in 2019, I think someone at the SFA said that he was the only candidate for the job, he was the guy they wanted. There shouldn't be an only candidate for the job this time. I think they owe it to the Tartan Army, who were sensational in America. They owe it to the Tartan Army, and they owe it to the Scotland squad to look far and wide. It doesn't bother me. You prefer a Scot. If it's not a Scot and it's the best candidate, then so be it. But they should be asking questions. Charlie's right. They need to ask the question of Ange Postecoglou. Does he want to be involved in the process? Is it something that would interest him? And they need to do that with all people that they believe to be credible candidates to be the next Scotland manager.
Well, thank you to Charlie. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We are now down to the 1 hour format of Clyde One Super Scoreboard for the next few weeks, with this World Cup finished when it comes to Scotland. And that means we have a change of time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The look on Roger's face there tells me that he forgot that this was happening.
Yeah, I nearly resigned last week.
Which means that, I mean, you lost last time. That's out. You've now been caught in the hop tonight, so maybe this is the perfect time play against Roger Hanna at Beat the Pundit. Get your call in now, 0141 951 1025, and we'll do it after the break.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can get your calls in, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. I think whoever was meant to play Beat the Pundit has now dropped out, which means that we need you. We need you right now. If you want to play Beat the Pundit against Roger Hanna, get a call in right now. 0141 951 1025. And you will pretty much be guaranteed to play. 0141 951 1025. Get your call in right now to play Roger Hanna at Beat the Pundit. While we wait for your calls, has much been happening in this Brazil-Japan game that we were mentioning earlier on? Dyson Maeda starting for Japan?
No, nothing. The hydration break was a blessed relief for us all. Brazil started well, fired one, was deflected wide of the post, but no, hasn't really been too much. Casemiro's got booking for taking down for a foul on the edge of the box. No, nothing great so far.
not much happening. We will continue to take your calls on all things Steve Clarke, 0141 951 1025, when it comes to Scotland's future, what happens, who the next manager is going to be, and we'll do that after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And thank you to Paul in Port Glasgow, who was quickest off the mark. We got a few phone calls there of people trying to get in. And Paul, what made you think that this was the time?
Just, I literally just put on the thing on the YouTube and just thought phone.
There we go. Perfect. Perfect timing.
Two calls from Greenock and one from Port Glasgow tonight, Andrew.
I know, it's all very localised.
It's a niche audience tonight.
It is indeed. Right, Paul, have you played before?
Yes, I have.
How did you get on? Who did you play?
I get beat off of Scott Allen, 5-3.
Okay, that's right.
Good scoring, no?
Right. Actually, I just took the Beat the Pundit coin out of its case there, but just a natural reaction there. I don't need to do that because it's just Roger Hanna. So remember, he is on -1, and we will put something else in the ear of Roger Hanna so he cannot hear us and he cannot cheat. For you, Paul, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yeah, it's all good, mate. Yep.
Let's go. Name either team Celtic will play at home in a friendly this summer.
Aston Villa.
Where did Derek McInnes start his playing career?
Greenock Morton.
How many World Cup goals did Elijah Just score for New Zealand?
3.
What is the most common first name in the current Scotland squad?
John.
Who played the most games for Hearts last season?
Chesnikov.
Before Tello Asgard, who was the last Rangers player to score at a men's World Cup?
DeMarcus Beasley.
Okay, we will bring Roger Hanna back in. Can you hear us, Roger?
I've got you now.
30 seconds on the clock for you. Let's go. Name either team Celtic will play at home in a friendly this summer.
Middlesbrough.
Where did Derek McInnes start his playing career?
Morton.
How many World Cup goals did Elijah Just score for New Zealand?
3.
What is the most common first name in the current Scotland squad?
Jack.
Who played the most games for Hearts last season?
Swallow.
Before Tello Asgard, who was the last Rangers player to score at a men's World Cup?
Selenko.
How many major tournaments did Craig Brown qualify for as Scotland manager?
He qualified for 2.
Okay, how do you think it went, Paul?
Close. I think it might have got me just with the one extra question, but close.
Right, we will go through them. Name either team Celtic will play at home in a friendly this summer. Paul went for Aston Villa. You went for Middlesbrough. You could have had AC Milan or Middlesbrough 1-0 to Roger Hanna.
Level.
Where did Derek McInnes... level, because Roger starts on -1. Of course. Where did Derek McInnes start his playing career? What do we say? We had two callers from Greenock. We had one caller from Port Glasgow. And one of the answers on Beat the Pundit is Greenock. Greenock Morton is where Derek McInnes started his playing career. So it remains level because you both got it. How many World Cup goals did Elijah Just score for New Zealand? You both said 3. You both got it correct. Remains level. What is the most common surname out of the current Scotland squad? First name. Did say first name in the question. Thankfully, it was just there I messed it up. Because you said Jack.
I have no idea. How'd you shout it the first thing?
You could have had 2 answers. You could have had Scott, because there's McKenna and McTominay.
Right.
Or you could have had John, McGinn and Suter. Paul went for John.
Well done.
Correct.
Well
so
done,
he
Paul.
Goes ahead because you are on -1.
Yeah, yeah.
Who played the most games for Hearts last season? Rogue shout from Paul here. He said Chesnikov. Who, of course, has just left. You went for Alexander Shvolov. The answer, Claudio Braga.
Really?
Yep, he played.
No, I could have had half a dozen shots, I wouldn't get that.
44 games last season. Before Tello Asgard, who was the last Rangers player to score at a men's World Cup? Neither of you got it. Brian Loudrup is the correct answer in 1998.
You know why I should remember that? I should remember that because it was the day I got married.
Is that right?
Yep.
You could have said that you were preoccupied and that's why you've forgotten it. That would have been a convenient excuse for you.
I was preoccupied.
Yeah, I know. That's what you should have used that.
Anniversary this Friday, 3rd of July.
There we go, right.
There you are.
That was as many questions as Paul got in and he's one up. You
I'm not sure I've got the last one right.
Question. How many major tournaments did Craig Brown qualify for as Scotland manager?
All right, okay. 2, yeah.
Yeah, Euro 96, France 98. It is 2, and it goes to a tiebreaker. Okay, what I'm going to do, Paul, is I'm going to read out the question. I'm going to get Roger to write down his answer, and then I'll get you to say yours out loud once he has written his down. Is that all good?
Yeah, that's good, mate.
Yep. Right. What percentage of all players at this year's World Cup were born in the country they represent? What percentage of all players at this year's World Cup were born in the country they represent? So Roger is going to write his answer down, which he has done, and you can say yours out loud now, Paul.
53%.
You have gone for 53%. Roger Hanna, as I can show you here, has gone for 86%. The answer is 77%. Roger Hanna wins on a tiebreaker. Unlucky, Paul.
Well done, Roger.
I was lucky. Thanks, Paul.
Not bad. Not bad for someone that wasn't prepared for it. He was just sitting there. You weren't prepared for it.
I'll tell you who's not prepared. Brazil aren't prepared.
Yeah, it's Brazil 0, Japan 1. Half an hour into that game, so could be a shock on the cards in just the second last 32 game. But unlucky to Paul. Well done to Roger Hanna, who gets through by the skin of his teeth. Right, let's go back to the phones. Gordon is in Airdrie. Gordon, how are you feeling about Steve Clark's resignation?
Yeah, I've kind of mixed feelings. I feel kind of sorry for him a little bit, because I think the players let him down badly. I don't think they played for him at all. I don't know what's happened when he signed his contract to now, but something clearly has, because those players should be doing a lot better than what they did. And I've kind of dissected just the one game with Brazil. If you look at Brazil's midfield, they had Guimarães, who played with Newcastle. What did he finish? 10th in the league or something like that in Premiership. Just Casemiro get shipped out of Man United because he's too old and too slow. And Paqueta, I think, still played with West Ham when they get relegated. And we had McGinn, McTominay and Lewis Ferguson in the middle. They should be running over the top of the three. I just don't think the players play for him at all.
I mean, Brazil still have quality players. When you look elsewhere on the pitch, their two central defenders are two of the best in the world, as Vinicius Junior.
And the flip side of that is Man United wanted Casemiro to stay, and he was the guy who forced Scott McTominay out of Man United. Paqueta's just gone back to Brazil, to Flamengo, for £30 million.
Arsenal want Bruno Guimarães, is that right?
He's the captain of Newcastle. So, I mean, you can look at these things either way. The players were guilty of individual errors. I thought Grant Hanley made a mistake at the Moroccan goal. Scott McKenna made a mistake at the first Brazil goal, and both Robertson and McGinn made mistakes at the second Brazil goal. But we make mistakes because, as a unit, we're not as strong as the other sides. We don't have as many good players as the other sides. We can talk about that Brazil midfield. We can talk about Vinicius Junior and Cunha and what have you. The young lad in the right wing, Ryan, is a guy who's keeping Ben Gann and Doak out of the Bournemouth team. When Aaron Hickey got injured, Steve had to choose between Nathan Patterson, who played about half a dozen games for Everton last season, or Tony Ralston, who at one stage was Celtic's fourth choice right back. Morocco with Ashraf Hakimi has just won back-to-back Champions Leagues with PSG. So people will talk about McTominay winning Serie A and McGinn winning the Europa League and Robertson doing this and that with Liverpool. But in terms of squad strength, we are not as good as the teams that put us out.
Were you expecting better in terms of results, Gordon, or was it just performances? What was it that let you down specifically?
For me, the players that just didn't perform at all. You know, I mean, I think it's just let Steve Clark down. I mean, they did nothing, you know, in my opinion. You know, and that's the most hardest thing to take, because you know you can get better out of those players that played in the three games. And I don't think they did themselves justice at all.
I suppose it's where that balance has struck, Roger, that, you know, players made individual errors and some of the big players didn't turn up and maybe didn't play to the best of their ability. How much of that comes down to them as players and them having to do better, and how much of it comes down to maybe systematic issues and, you know, tactics and what they've been instructed to do? There's probably a balance there somewhere.
It's an interesting point you make there, saying, you know we can get better out of these players. I'm not convinced you can get much better out of a lot of these players. You know, the goalie, Angus Gunn, who actually did better than I thought he would in the tournament, played one game for Nottingham Forest last season. We've spoken about the issues at right back. We've spoken about the issues at centre back. In the middle of the park, you know, people will say McTominay didn't play very well. McGinn didn't play very well. They play better for their clubs. Of course they do, because they're surrounded by better players at their clubs. That Aston Villa team that won the Europa League would beat Scotland.
But the fact that we've seen them play better for Scotland, is it just purely down to level of opposition, Morocco and Brazil? Because people would argue that against Haiti,
of course it is.
Scotland should have done better against Haiti.
There was a group there with Canada, Qatar, Bosnia and Switzerland. We didn't get through in that group. There was a group that included Jordan, Algeria and Austria. We didn't get through in that group. I think we didn't get through in the group that had DR Congo and Uzbekistan in it as well. So we were really unlucky with the draw. I think we were quite unlucky that we played in one of the early groups, Andrew, because we were finished and other teams can then carve up their games. You know, the Paraguay-Australia games are a disgrace. Austria and Algeria drawn as well, when they both knew a draw would get them through. We were unlucky in that aspect as well. So all of the little marginals have gone against Scotland. And now I'll be really fascinated at the start of next season. A, to see who gets the job, and B, to see how he does in the job compared to Steve Clarke, because there are not half a dozen top level players that Steve Clarke's been overlooking. The ones he took to the finals are the best we've got.
Who comes next for you, Gordon? Have you got anything in mind in terms of candidates?
I would take Ange Postecoglou all day long. All day long. It might be difficult for him to impose his style on the team because he doesn't get him every day of the week. But I would definitely take him.
Do you think there are any realistic Scottish options out there, or are you struggling to see any?
I don't see any at all. Well, David Moyes would be one, but he's a Steve Clarke clone. You know what I mean? So you'd probably get the same out of him. And Roger, I disagree with you. You're trying to tell me John McGinn, McTominay and those guys played to their best?
No, I'm not. McTominay scored that wonderful goal we all remember against Denmark, that great overhead kick. And he's done things in the past. I remember he scored the goals against Spain and what have you. He has moments where he can be, you know, flashes where he can be really good. McGinn scored 20 goals for Scotland over 7 or 8 years, and again has had flashes. But when you're looking at them against some of the players that we're playing against, I think we sometimes ask too much of these guys. I really do. They're not absolute. You know, you look at, this is a tournament where the real players have shown. Messi, Mbappe, Dembele, Haaland, the ones that we know are the absolute superstars of world football, have all turned up and shown what they can do. I don't think Scotland have any superstars of world football.
When we talk about the high-profile players in that Scotland squad and we look at profile of manager, how important do you think it is that it is a manager that, you know, has a bit of profile, has a bit of authority when he's going in there, and he's got a dressing room now that has a lot of players playing at a top level, playing under really good managers?
Listen, I was speaking to Chris Boyd about this earlier on, who knows Steve Clarke very well from their days at Kilmarnock, and he was saying to me, he's been in loads and loads of dressing rooms, and regardless of the personalities, if you are managed by the same guy for 7 years and you've had a degree of success, and we've had a degree of success, we've reached 3 major finals and we're within 90 minutes of 4 major finals, and then somebody else comes in and tries to tear it all up and go a different way, the players will be naturally suspicious of this, because they'll think, oh, hold on a wee second, this isn't the way we've done it for 7 years, and we've done well for 7 years here. So it's going to take someone of real authority to come in and say, no, we're going a different way. This is how we're doing it from now on in. So it will need to be a big character. It will need to be someone that can command the respect of these experienced players. And, you know, I think the game against Brazil was it the most experienced Scotland team ever selected in terms of caps. So no manager in Scottish football history,
was it the Morocco game? Yeah.
No manager in Scottish football history has ever walked into a dressing room with more experience in it. So they will need to be an authority figure who can command the respect of the Robertsons, the McGinns and the McTominays.
Thanks to Gordon on the line. Final chance to get your calls in now while I tell you about this.
Cruise down the Clyde with 101 convenience stores. Open all day, every day.
Yeah, get ready for an unforgettable night on the water as Clyde One and Cash for Kids bring you Cruise Down the Clyde. We're setting sail on board the iconic Waverley paddle steamer with DJ sets from Cassie, Gary Spence, Grant Thompson and Callum Gallagher, plus the GBX with George Bowie. It's happening on Friday the 31st of July and it's all to help children in Ayrshire, Glasgow and the West. So if you fancy a night of partying while raising money, you can get your tickets right now at clyde1.com/cashforkids. Cruise Down the Clyde is brought to you all thanks to 101 Convenience Stores.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hanna here with me, Andrew McLean. Of course, we are reflecting on what was a huge weekend for the Scottish national team. Knocked out of the World Cup officially after a bunch of results didn't go our way. And then Steve Clarke resigning late into the hours of Saturday night, early hours of Sunday morning. So any final thoughts on those topics, get them in now. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Joe. That's up next. Joe, how are you feeling about it all?
I'm quite glad that Steve Clarke's left, to be honest with you, because I don't know who the SFA member was that gave him a five-year contract before the World Cup even kicked off. Was it Steve Mulroney or something like that? I'm not sure of the name. But
It'll be Mike Mulroney and Ian Maxwell will be two of the decision makers on a four-year deal.
Hugh Keevans actually name-checked him last week when he said that. He said they think he's the best thing since sliced bread. So I know that was a wee bit of sarcasm coming off his Hugh. But I'm glad he's gone. Commiserations to Scotland. But I just don't understand why they cannot just go for it on the field. You see all these lesser footballing nations and they're playing. I think the World Cup has actually came to life now. I think it's more exciting, everything else. I don't know why Steve Clarke decided to keep the negative tactics. I don't know what I said, lesser nations have shown us what you can do to try. And I think the bottom line is with Scotland, and I would hate to admit it as a Scotsman, I think players would go available just no good enough. Because as I say to who was I speaking to last week, and I say, was it yourself, Andrew? And you say that Brazil was full of superstars, and I said, so is Scotland. McTominay, McGinn, Tierney, Robertson, whatever. But don't think are good enough at football. And I love playing football.
Where do you strike that balance, Joe? Because you're saying that Steve Clarke didn't go for it and didn't get, you know, enough out of the players. But if you're saying, you know, the players aren't good enough at football, who's...
Well, the two things could be right. He didn't go for it because he knows the players aren't good enough to go for it. The players are good enough to reach major finals. They're not good enough to progress from major finals. Now, if you'd said that after that first Euros, folk would have said, they've only had one go at it. They've now had three goes at it. And if you take in the other World Cup qualification, we're 90 minutes away, that playoff against Ukraine. So they're good enough to get to the major finals. It's been shown now in the last four qualification campaigns, we're not quite good enough to get beyond the group stage. And for this group of players, that's not a disgrace because no Scottish team ever has been good enough to get beyond the groups. The Roglishes and the Laws and the Baxters and the Sunnises and the Hansons and all of these guys, the Strachans, none of them did it. So it's not a disgrace that this team didn't manage to do it.
So do you think there is a manager out there, a realistic option, Joe, that, you know, can take this squad further, and or do you think the squad are, you know, getting two tournaments and not being able to progress at the group stage is the ceiling?
The Scotland manager, I've lost interest in a wee bit because I've heard that Ange Postecoglou could possibly be coming forward, but he's a club manager, not an international manager.
He did well with Australia years ago.
It's an old way back, and I don't know what kind of money he was on then. A club manager, he's going to make a lot more if he's managing down south, isn't he? So, but a Scotland manager, I've lost a bit of interest in that. Who's going to be the next Scotland manager? Because obviously, a club supporter, right? I love Big Ange. I don't know who could step in to help Scotland, because as I said, my underlying statement is, don't think it's, hate to say it, but Scotsman players aren't good enough.
We're losing Joe there a little bit, so I'll jump in. And Joe's saying that he, you know, he feels he's lost interest a bit in the national team and doesn't really care who the manager is. See, if you look at it overall, though, the interest in the national team since Steve Clarke come in has spiked massively.
I'll take you back, Andrew. I did this show during the wilderness years for the Scotland international team, and we really didn't look forward to the international breaks at all on this show, because nobody phoned in. There was no interest. You know, Scotland are playing at home to Slovenia in a qualifier. No interest whatsoever. And one of the great things about Steve Clarke, we mentioned in the show last week with Tony, is that Steve Clarke and this group of players have re-engaged the Scottish football team with the fan base. And I don't just mean the Tartan Army, the guy with the Glengarries that go to the game. You know, we had Jim McAllister's wife phoning the show. You know, men, women and children phoning the show. Look how many thousands went to Boston and Miami and New York to support the Scotland team, many without tickets, and all at a great expense. And it's fantastic to see. They would have the time of their lives. The ones who went and saw Scotland winning in the World Cup against Haiti will never forget it. Probably the ones who saw the defeats to Morocco and Brazil will never forget it. It was a fantastic experience. And that is what Steve Clarke and this group of players have done. They've re-engaged the national team with the support. And it's been wonderful to see, and long may it continue under his successor.
How much more of an attractive job is it now than it was 7 years ago? As Steve Clarke raised the profile, there are now, you know, a lot more players playing at a higher level. We're off the back of three major tournaments. Do you think there is?
Listen, he, in his statement when he left in the early hours yesterday morning, he said when he was offered a job, he sort of looked upon it as a poison chalice, because for 20 years and more, we'd never qualified for a major finals. Now the job has changed completely, because the guy who comes in to take over is now following the guy who's just taken the national team to three major finals and, you know, almost four major finals. So it's a big job to take on. There are no secret players that we don't know about hidden in a cupboard somewhere, Andrew. He's going to have to do it with the ones who are there. A number of the ones who are there are in their 30s. They've probably had their best days behind them, not just for Scotland, in terms of their career. Steve today, in his new interview they put out this morning with the SFA, says he believes this group have more campaigns in them. So it's going to be up to his successor to prove him right.
Well, thank you to Joe on the line. It is only an hour we're on for tonight. I realise we are running out of time. Just very quickly, Roger, quite a few bits of transfer news concerning Rangers today. Ben Godfrey has officially signed, and Jack Butland looks as if he's leaving for Hull City. Ivar Pander looks as if he's coming in from Hull City. What do you make of generally of just those bits of business?
Listen, they've been busy. You always get to this time of year, some clubs are busier than others. I think Aberdeen have got eight in already. Hearts have got a few in. Kelly are beginning to get a few in. Mark O'Hara yesterday, really interesting. New deal for Joe Hugel today. So I think Derek McInnes were pleased with the pace, as we said earlier on the show, of his signings, and it's up to the others now to keep pace of catch up.
Well, that is all we have time for, but the beauty of Clyde One Super Scoreboard is we are back again tomorrow from 6 o'clock, so make sure to join us then. There will be plenty more reaction to Steve Clarke's resignation, Scotland at the World Cup, all the transfer news that is no doubt going to ramp up over the next few weeks. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Roger Hanna in the studio. Thanks for getting involved on the phones, on social media, and watching the live stream. If you're interested in what's happening in the World Cup game that it's half time in, it's Brazil 0, Japan 1. So could be a shock on the cards there. Remember, back tomorrow from 6 o'clock, and it's Callum Gallagher up next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.